Okay. Thank you for being here this Saturday evening. It's kind of raining since morning.
It is snowing.
Now it's snowing? Let's start with invocation prayers. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurahatshe Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayvacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay. So, last time, which verses did we discuss? So anybody remembers which verses did we discuss last time? We did from 31 through 38. We stopped at 39. So we started the second phase of, or third phase of chapter 2, which is now Krishna takes towards two duties. So first he start talking about karma kanda. Right? Okay. Do your work even though if with the desire of results. Because karma kanda is, it proposes many different activities for desire of different results. So if you act in this way, you get this result. So he wanted to answer Arjuna's concern of not fighting out of fear of sinful reaction or loss of enjoyment. So Krishna says, if you fight, even if you get killed, you will attain to heavenly planets while doing your duties as a Kshatriya. But on the contrary, if you don't fight, if you don't do your duty, then you will get sinful reaction. So if you win the war, you get the earthly kingdom. If you lose the war, you get killed, you gain heavenly kingdom. So in both ways, it's a win-win scenario. Now after that, Krishna takes further step. Rather than desiring the result, do your duty without the desire of any result. As a nishkam karma. Without the desire of happiness or distress, loss, without considering happiness or distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat. So if you act in this way, you don't incur any sin. So that is Arjuna's, countering Arjuna's concern of having sinful reaction. So act without the desire of result. So now Krishna takes further step. He is describing, he is continuing on the nishkam karma thought process. And then Krishna will describe or as a comparison, contrast between karma kanda and karma yoga. So what is the contrast between Karma Kanda and Karma Yoga? So we'll discuss, start from 39. Esham te bihita sankhe buddhir yoge tvup emam shunu buddhya yukto yaya partha karma bandham prahasyasi. Esham te abhihita sankhe buddhir yoga tvam imam shru shunu buddhyar yukto yaya partha karma bandham prahasyasi. So thus far I have described this knowledge to you through analytical study. Now listen as I explain it in terms of working without fruitive results. O son of Pratha, when you act in such knowledge, you can free yourself from bondage of work. So this is further, how to act without getting the reaction. So here Krishna uses some significant words, which is one is Sankhya and then Buddhi Yoga. So Sankhya is Sankhya Yoga is analytical study. Analytical study. So there is two words, Sankhya and Sankhya. Sankhya is counting numbers. So this whole cosmic manifestation is made up of 24 elements. So doing the analytical study in terms of the different elements of material nature. And then Sankhya is a complete theoretical study of the spirit soul. So Sankhya Yoga. So understanding the spirit soul in terms of analytical study. So Krishna says, I have already described in terms of Sankhya, right? Because he described the nature of soul in detail from 12th through 30th verses of chapter 2. And then Krishna is now taking towards next step. He says, now act in Buddhi Yoga. So Buddhi and Yoga. Buddhi means intelligence. And Yoga means connection. So connection with the Supreme. So connecting with our intelligence to the Supreme. So that is Buddhi Yoga. So here Krishna in Bhagavad Gita uses Buddhi Yoga at multiple stages in different contexts. So in 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will again use the word Buddhi Yoga, which is the ultimate concept of Buddhi Yoga is conclusion in Bhakti Yoga. So there Buddhi Yoga means Bhakti Yoga, the ultimate meaning of Buddhi Yoga. Here the context of Buddhi Yoga is in terms of Karma Yoga. So act with intelligence. In that way, if you act with intelligence, you can free yourself from bondage of work. So if somebody is working, somebody thinks with intelligence, why I am working? Okay, what is the result of my work and where the result is going? So if somebody acts with intelligence, one can see if my work is, or the result of my work is temporary or is it eternal? Is my work connected with Krishna or is it not connected with Krishna? So working in that way with intelligence. So that is Buddhi Yoga in connection to Karma Yoga here. So the next verses are very important. Neha bhikramanasho asti.
Neha bhikramanasho asti.
Pratyavayo na vidyate.
Pratyavayo na vidyate.
Svalpam api asya dharmasya.
Svalpam api asya dharmasya.
Tayate mahato bhayat.
Tayate mahato bhayat.
Neha bhikramanasho asti.
Neha bhikramanasho asti.
Pratyavayo na vidyate. Svalpam api asya dharmasya.
Svalpam api asya dharmasya.
Trayate mahato bhayat.
Trayate mahato bhayat.
So In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So, the purport, or sorry, the translation itself says, in this endeavor, there is no loss, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So, whatever we do in Karma Yoga, or basically in yoga, which is in connection with Krishna, while linking with Krishna, so either Karma Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, whatever we do, whatever little advancement one do, there is no loss. And one can be saved from the greatest type of fear. What is the most, the greatest fear?
Death and watching the Yamadutas.
Death and watching the Yamadutas. Maharaj was describing something last time. Right, the story, the person saw the Yamadutas and they came. Remember that story?
Yes.
So, the greatest type of fear is the fear of death. And at the time of death, seeing those Yamadutas, the scary people. And one can be saved from the most dangerous type of fear, the fear of death, with little advancement on the path of yoga, on the path of bhakti. Now, how is that? In material sense, can we say there is no loss at the end? If somebody builds a big empire, okay, he is a trillionaire. So big mansions, big cars, lot of servants, big degrees, multiple PhDs, MBAs degrees. At the end, will anything stay? At the time of death or after death, will anything stay? No, everything is gone with death. No matter how big empire somebody may build, somebody can think, oh, I want to leave for my next 7 generations to come. But the person cannot claim anything. And when the person comes back in next life, he cannot say, in my previous life I was such and such person, I have multiple MBA, PhD degrees, I had this whole mansion, this bank balance. So nothing stays to that person. He cannot claim anything at all. So everything is lost. So even if somebody gets 100% achievement in material sense, right, whatever greatest achievement one may get, at the end it's zero. But on the contrary, Krishna is saying, even if somebody does a small advancement on this path, on Karma Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, there is no loss. So how is that? Even if somebody does 2% advancement, that 2% advancement stays. So if somebody made small progress, right? We think, we see a lot of time people come in contact with the philosophy, come in contact with the devotees, they show some interest in spiritual activities. For some time they do, and then they drift away. But whatever they did, little bit, small, 2%, 5% advancement, that stays in their credit. So right now, because of some different interests or different attractions, they are again back to their own life, own world. But somewhere, sometime in the future, they will come back. Either this life itself or next life. And their quota will start from that point. And what is the easiest example to understand? So if you have, I have given this example multiple times. If you have 10 kids sitting in a line and you start doing kirtan, all those 10 kids will have different behavior, different level of participation in the kirtan. Some may be very absorbed, clapping and singing, and somebody may be completely lost. Why is that? Because they have done something in their previous lives. They have some bank balance of this bhakti yoga, bhakti, and they are catching up from that point. Right? So there is no loss, even if somebody make 2% advancement. And there is a classical example of Ajamil story. Everybody is familiar with Ajamil story? No? So, there is a nice story, the nice description in Bhagavatam describing the story of Brahman Ajamil. So, he was a Brahman, born in a Brahman family in his earlier lifetime as a till his youth. He was practicing his religious principles as a Brahmana, doing all these ritual activities and all, studying the Vedas, everything. But later on, somehow, he got into a bad association, or somehow he saw a scene which a prostitute is hugging a Shudra or something like that, and he got completely bewildered with that. Completely got attracted towards those kind of things, and he kicked out his wife, kicked out his parents, brought the prostitute, started living with the prostitute, gave up all his religious activities, and through that prostitute he gave birth to many children. Even at his very old age he gave birth to a son. But somehow, because he had followed the principles in his earlier life, in his youth, so Krishna inspired him to name his eldest child as Narayan. So, at the time of death, he saw the Yamadutas. So, three Yamadutas came. This person also said, yes, they came. So, he started calling out of fear. He started calling out to his eldest child. The youngest child. So, the youngest child he named Narayan. So he calling out because of so much attraction. He was always playing with him. Narayan do this. Narayan eat food. Narayan drink water. Narayan drink milk. Narayan go sleep now. So he is kind of saying his name. And when he saw the Yamadutas, out of fear, he started calling out the name Narayan. He was calling to his son. But immediately Vishnu Dutas came. So there was a Vishnu Dutas had a argument with Yamadutas. So Vishnuduta saying, you cannot take this person. And Yamaduta is saying, this person is such a sinful person. How come you came? So ultimately, Yamadutas go back, leaving Ajamila behind. So he gets a second chance. So that is the story about getting a second chance to rectify his mistake. So he again takes back to his old life of religious principle. He takes to the spiritual life, goes to, I guess this goes to Varanasi or what is that place? Haridwar. Next to Haridwar is what is that?
Rishikesh.
And he performs spiritual activities.
So he got up from the deathbed or he was dead, right?
He was not dead. He was about to die. He saw the Yamadutas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was not after death.
Okay.
As a... So, that story is revealing the same point here. What he said, there is no loss and it can save one from the greatest type of fear. So, small endeavor or small advancement on this path can save one. It's like if a child is studying 10th grade exam or 12th grade exam or let's say engineering final year, final exams, and you get a deal. Even if you fail, you will get a 6-night, 7-day paid vacation to Hawaii. Right? So even if you fail, at the end, you get this luxury. So this is what Krishna is saying. Even if some makes a small advancement on this path, on the path of spiritual advancement, on the path of bhakti, small advancement is giving big result. There is no loss. Now, can anything promise something like that in material life? Can in material life, in your job, can somebody say, okay, even if you don't do your work, okay, 1 year you did your work nicely, we gave you a nice promotion or a bonus check, and next year you don't do anything, after that, after first year of your job, you don't do anything at all, will you keep getting your check? Or maybe they will demote you, right? You don't start at the same level. So here Krishna is saying there is no loss. You continue from the same level. 2% advancement means somebody start from the level of 2. Somebody did up to 10% advancement, you start from that. You don't go back to 0. So it may seem like, okay, somebody took birth again, he has to start again, right? He has to, because in this life you don't remember anything, you don't remember all the shlokas you may have learned in the previous life, you don't remember all those religious principles or spiritual activities you did. But the point is, somebody, when he comes in the contact of the process again, he makes rapid advancement. So you may have seen some people come in the process, within 1 year, 2 year, they make great advancement. Somebody else may be practicing for 10 years. Still he is stuck at that level, right? There is same, he is doing all those same basic things yet. But somebody else may be on a very fast track, because he had that. He started from his 10% or 20%, wherever he left in the previous life. But now, can we take this verse in a other sense also? Krishna says there is no loss. Even if you make small advancement, there is no loss. So, okay, I will do small advancement only. There is no point of try to make big advancement, because that also gives result, and there is no loss. There is no fear. It can save me from greatest fear. So why to become too much serious? Just do a little bit. That's okay. Can we take in that sense? Why?
We are not sure we get a human life next time.
Right, so even though whenever we get the opportunity, you will start from that level, but you don't know when you will get that opportunity. Right? If you did some nasty activities, you may again go down to the lower species of life, and when you come back to the human form of life, that time maybe yes, you can again start from that level, but we are losing a lot of time. We are delaying our process of going back to the spiritual world, going back to the kingdom of God. And just think again from material point of view. How many of us feel stagnated water or like stagnated water? Or how many of you will like to be stagnated in your career? Anybody like stagnation in their career? Everybody is thinking, okay, I want promotion, I want bonus, I want this, that, right, year after year. And suppose if your offer letter says, throughout your career, throughout your job in this company, this is a salary, no promotion, nothing. Will you accept that? So nobody like to stay at same point, right? Nobody like to be stagnated in life. But yet, somehow, sometime we get stagnated in our spiritual life. Isn't it true? We think, okay, I'm doing one round chanting, two round chanting, that's enough. So years after years after year, after a long time also, we are still same place, at same level. So, Krishna is very patiently looking at us, for us to make progress, thinking that yes, we will move forward, we will make progress, but somehow we are keeping ourselves back, holding ourselves back. So Krishna is like a loving mother or a loving father, right? Krishna is, it says, Mata, pita ahamasya jagato mata dhata pitamaha. I am the father, I am the mother, I am the grandfather, I am the dear friend of everybody. So Krishna is like our mother, dear mother and father. And when a mother gives birth to a child, child is not able to move, he is just lying at one place. Mother is doing everything for the child, feeding the child, cleaning the child, changing the diapers and everything. And in the beginning, child doesn't show any emotions, any symptoms. And when child grows to maybe 1 month, 2 months, he start giving some smile. And when child gives the first smile, what is mother's reaction? New father. When the child gives first smile, what is the reaction of a father or mother? They feel very happy.
Yeah.
Oh, he gave smile at me. Right? He smiled back at me. And mother is smiling.
I was jealous.
And child doesn't even know he is my mother, she is my mother, or he is my father, or he is the neighbor, or who is somebody. He doesn't know anybody. He just smiles. And mother is feeling so much happy. So Krishna is like that. When we take the first step towards Krishna, Krishna is like a loving mother. Krishna is saying, yes, he is trying to come back to me. So ultimately he is taking a step on this path. Now, in the example of mother, so after 1 month, 2 months, when child smiles, mother is very happy. Now after 2 years also, if the child is just smiling, not doing anything else, doesn't start to crawl, doesn't start to move arms, legs, will mother still be very ecstatic? What will be mother's reaction now?
Anxiety.
Yeah. Scared, fearful. Right? Oh, child is just still smiling only, not doing anything else. Some problem there. So after a few years on the process, if we are stuck at the same level, just waving at Krishna, yes, I came, take darshan, I'm not doing anything else, not making any further endeavor to progress in the spiritual life, then Krishna is still patiently waiting. Or maybe someday he will take next step. So Krishna is feeling so much anxiety for all the living entities. Krishna is desiring everybody to come back to spiritual world. Right? Krishna wants everybody to be with him as a loving father. He wants all the children to be safe at home. But somehow, we want to play with fire. So we chose to come into this material world. And a lot of time people say, if we were with Krishna in first place, why we chose to come here? Why Krishna sent us here? It's like, we blame at Krishna actually. Why Krishna sent us here? We force Krishna to send us in a different place to enjoy. It's like another example to understand. When a child turns 15, 16, and they are ready to get their license. 16 years, I guess the limit is 16 years here. So when the child gets a license and he is nagging in front of father, please give me the keys of your car, please give me the keys. And father is saying, no, no, you just learned driving, you don't know, you're not very comfortable in driving and you will hit it somewhere, get hurt and break down the car also. So father doesn't want to give the keys, but the child is insisting. No, no, give me the key, give me the key, give me the key. And when child doesn't leave it, father finally says, okay, take the keys. Because child insisted so much, so father ultimately gives the key. Okay, be careful. So you are going in a dangerous world, be careful. So child, out of all this excitement and influence of various things, friends and all that, goes and maybe hits the car, brings back the broken car. And then when father says, what did you do? He says, why did you give me the keys? Don't you know? I'm just a little child. So first the child forces father to give him the keys and then he blames on father. See, I am just a little child. You should have acted intelligently. You should not have given me the keys. So the same situation is with us. First we force Krishna to send us here, that oh, we want to enjoy separate from you. And when finally Krishna reluctantly sent us here, we blame on God, we blame on Krishna. Why Krishna sent us here? We were with Krishna, if we were enjoying, why Krishna sent us here? And when he sent us here, why there are so many problems? Because that is the nature of the world. This world is not designed for us to enjoy. This world is designed for us to be corrected. It's like a correction center. So, the ultimate point is, once we take first step on this path of self-realization, to reconnect ourselves back with Krishna, even a small advancement, there is great benefit. And it's not lost. And it can save one from the greatest danger. And the point I was saying, why we should not stuck at the same level, actually Krishna himself answers in the next verse. That okay, even if there is no loss, but don't get stuck here. So the next verse is, again, very important shloka. Vyavasatmika buddhir
ఏకేహా కురు నందన బహుశాఖాహై అనంతశ్చ బుద్ధయో వ్యవసాత్మికా వ్యవసాయినాం వ్యవసాత్మికా బుద్ధిర్ ఏకేహా కురు నందన బహుశాఖాహై అనంతశ్చ బుద్ధయో వ్యవసాయినాం. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. O beloved child of Kuru, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. So Krishna is saying who are intelligent and fixed in determination, they're single pointed, their attention is single pointed, they are focused, whereas one whose intelligence is multi-branched, they cannot become resolute on this path. They cannot become determined on this path. So again, very important shloka to understand and very significant words used here. One is vyavasatmikah buddhi. What is the meaning of vyavasa? Vyavasai? Vyavasai. Business. Right? What is the business mentality? A businessman person, business-minded person, how does he think? So everything is profit-oriented or everything is judged with money. Right? Whatever he deals with, money comes in picture. Even if somebody gives a gift, thinks how much it could be. If I have to do something, what is in it for me? If I have to go somewhere, will I make profit? So everything is profit-oriented, money-oriented. It is single-pointed in that way. So Krishna is saying to make progress on this path, one need to be single-pointed. We have a satmika buddhi. His intelligence should be single-pointed. Whereas one whose intelligence is multi-branched, he cannot be resolute on this path. Now we have both these examples in front of us. We can see so many people in both categories. Somebody very fixed in determination, whereas somebody other, he has so many different things. So yes, there are many different activities in our life. So we have to prioritize sometimes the different activities. But ultimately Krishna should be on the top of the priority list. So if you are, let's say, on a given day, you have to do 10 different activities. Okay, I need to take care of my lawn mowing, I have to do shopping, I have to take kids to class, I have to do laundry, this, that. So there is a big list of things to do. I have to go to a birthday party, I have to go to a potluck. So there are many different things. So on that list, Krishna should be on the priority as a top list. In the list of things, Krishna should be at the top of the priority list. But if we give priority to different other things, so if the intelligence, as I say, intelligence is multi-branched, if we give more attention towards other all different things, so slowly, slowly Krishna start gliding down on this priority list. And ultimately what happens? Goes to the last on the list. Okay, maybe first I should do all these things. If time is left, then will think of Krishna. For me, otherwise, all different things, all other things, going to a birthday party, going to this thing, going to this place, those are more important. Doesn't it happen to all of us? So sometimes we give priority to other things and push Krishna down on the priority list. But we should be one-pointed. If somebody want to make progress on spiritual life, we need to be one-pointed. Single-pointed attention. Now, single-pointed attention does not mean I give up all those things. So, yes, if there is... So, there is a two set of activities. A journal activity and an emergency situation. Right? If it's a journal activity, yes, it can wait. It's not very important thing. Okay, I have to do lawn mowing, but I need to go to this program also. So yes, maybe lawn mowing can wait. There is no urgency in that. But if there is some kind of a medical urgency, okay, you have to take care of that. So as an emergency situation, this emergency takes priority. So in that situation, maybe we have to say, okay, today maybe I have to skip this program. But otherwise, if it's a general scenario, so we have to see what is my priority list. So for example, when we travel, okay, when you travel, so you pack the things which may be necessary during travel. We don't pack the whole house to take with us. So we pack only as much can fit in the suitcase, in the luggage and whatever is. And to fit in the luggage, you don't put the things which are unnecessary first. So you put the things which are most relevant for your travel. I will not put my dining table and other things in the suitcase. So I want to carry all these things also. So during a travel, we prioritize what to carry. The bare minimum, what is the most necessary items. So same way in our day-to-day life, while trying to make progress in spiritual life, so we prioritize what are the most important things for me. Yes, I have to take care of those things. If it's not of our utmost priority or utmost urgency, maybe it can wait. Right? So, and another example of one-pointed attention is, so when we, let's say an example of a student. Now, can a student say, I will do engineering also, so I want to become an engineer, so I will study engineering also, I will study medical also, I will study accountancy also, I will study law also, and then ultimately at the end I will become an engineer. Will it work? So if somebody wants to become an engineer, he has to close the door for other things. So in plus two, generally this is what happens, right? In plus two you have a choice, or when you go to as a high school as a 11th grade or 12th grade, so you have to choose which direction you want to go. You want to go towards engineering side or medical side. If you want to go towards engineering side, you want to take math. If you want to go to medical side, you want to take biology as your subject. So if somebody want to become doctor, he has to close the door for other things. If somebody want to become engineer, he has to close the door for being a doctor. He cannot say, oh, I will study all those various different things and I will try to become engineer. So to become a particular expert, you have to focus on that. Single pointed. Same way as a sports person. Another example of a sports field. Somebody says, I want to become a good cricketer. So to become a good cricketer, what does it require?
Fitness.
Practice about cricket a lot, right? Whatever, if somebody wants to become a bowler or a batsman. So he has to practice that particular thing a lot. He cannot say, I will play cricket also, I will play tennis also, badminton, basketball, kabaddi and this, that. So I will give little time to everything and I will become expert of as a cricketer. So that doesn't happen. Yes, somebody as a hobby can give some time to different activities. He can play chess, he can do some time, little tennis somewhere. But fully he has to focus on one particular sport. So same way, when we want to progress in spiritual life, our attention should be one-pointed focus. So classical example of Arjuna shooting the arrow when Dronacharya tests him, right? He is testing everybody. So he is asking everybody, what do you see on the tree? He has a bird hidden in the, or a kind of a fake bird hidden in the tree. He is asking everybody, what do you see? So everybody is saying, oh, I see the sky, I see the tree and different leaves and branches, and I see the bird also. But Arjuna, he said, I see only the bird. And then more zoomed, I see only the eye of the bird. So that is a single pointed attention. So when we want to make progress in spiritual life, ultimately we have to come to that platform that I have to make progress on this path. It doesn't mean, again, spiritual life does not mean giving up everything. It's just becoming serious about that. A single pointed means being serious, determined about that. It's not that, okay, today I will go to this party, this week I will skip this program, I will go to this party, and again, we just keep in that way, we keep pushing Krishna down in that way. Any other thought? Somebody has any other thought? Just based on the translation of the shloka?
Vyavasaya is agriculture.
See, vyavasaya is, it could be any business. It could be agriculture. It could be somebody's shop. Vyavasaya is business. Vyavahara is your behavior. Vyavahar word means behavior. Vyavasaya word is business. Any other thought, somebody from any practical experience?
Why is it that Guru Nandan is Lord Krishna's Guru Nandan?
No, he is addressing Arjuna.
Arjuna.
Arjuna is Kuru, right? Ultimately, they are from the Kuru Vansha.
Pandus, right?
So, that's why later on, Dhritarashtra, he claiming himself as Kuru and his sons as Kauravas.
Yes.
So, they separated the Pandavas from the dynasty. They say, okay, his father was Pandu and they are Pandavas.
Okay.
But ultimately, it's the Kuru dynasty.
Okay.
So, Pandu and Dhritarashtra, both are in Kuru line.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Because when you say Guru Nandan, we generally assume Dhritarashtra's clan, you know.
Right, that's the later version. Mm-hmm. Only Dhritarashtra's line is considered as Guru's line.
Yes, yeah.
And Pandavas is considered Pandava. But if you look at the Pandava and Dhritarashtra, they both are from the Kuru line.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So in our practical life, any other example of?
I think in last week itself, they were, the Guru Maharaj, he was focusing on this loka only more.
Yes.
Right.
See how we push down our priorities, or how we push down Krishna on the priority list. See, as of now, when we start on this path, we may not know how to make progress or how to serve Krishna to the best of our ability. So, but slowly, slowly, as we are plugged in the process, we learn how to make progress, how to serve Krishna to the best of our ability with the best of the talents given to us. It's not that somebody has to acquire a new talent, right, to serve Krishna. Whatever little bit we have, the ability, we can serve Krishna with that ability. If somebody, everybody has their own different talents. Somebody may be a nice singer for doing kirtan. Somebody may be a nice cook. Somebody can dress Krishna nicely, the deity. Somebody can make garlands nicely. So everybody has their different talents, and everybody can use those abilities in Krishna's service to best of their ability. And we will learn slowly how we can dovetail our whatever abilities we have, whatever talents we have in serving Krishna. Right now we are using those talents in serving all various other things in the world. Right? We are serving the society, we are serving the neighborhood, we are serving the community, we are serving the boss, we are serving the company. So in that way we are serving all various agents in this material world, and same way we can utilize those abilities in service of Krishna also. And as we stay in process, stay in association of devotees, we learn how to engage in service of Krishna. But ultimate process, ultimate point is to come in service, to engage ourselves in service. That's why the service is very important. We stress so much on engaging in service. Whenever there is any opportunity to engage in service, we have every Sunday temple program. That's where we get the opportunity to serve, or during a special festival times. So in college or in school, when we study, there is two different things. There is a theory and practical, right? So in the class we understand the theory, and then in the lab you perform the practical. So same way in spiritual life, there are two different aspects. So one is, okay, satsang program, where we understand, right? We understand the philosophy, we understand various things. But then, there is a lab also. What is the lab? The environment where we can do service. So either it could be a temple setup where we come in association with devotees to serve the Lord during the festivals, we can engage in service. So that is the practical aspect. So that's why engaging in service is very important whenever there is an opportunity. Even a small service, as in the previous verse Krishna says, a small advancement on this path yield huge result. There is no loss. Somebody picks up small trash lying here and there in the temple compound. So Krishna is witnessing that also. Krishna doesn't forget that. So in Krishna's eyes, he remembers everything. So if we do service for somebody in your material world, if you are serving your company for years and years, and later on you have some problem, you are not able to do your job, will company give you all the benefits? If you are not able to work, there may be a short-term leave or something, but after that you have to come back to your job. If you don't come back, you lose all that. But Krishna, he remembers everything. If somebody has rendered even a small service, Krishna remembers that. What to speak of Krishna, even Krishna's representative, the great devotees, the pure devotees of the Lord, they also remember even a small service rendered to them. There's so many examples actually from Prabhupada's life. I just remembered one. So many devotees, so many people rendered so much service, right, at time of Prabhupada to build this organization, to push on this movement of Krishna consciousness. So many people give their contributions. So at the different occasions, actually Prabhupada recognized even the small contribution somebody may have done. And when Prabhupada on his deathbed, during his last days, he was in Vrindavan. And during one of those last days, Prabhupada took out his ring from his finger and he gave it to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, one of the sannyasi disciple of Prabhupada. So he gave the ring to Tamal Krishna Maharaj and told him, please give this ring to George Harrison. Everybody knows George Harrison? Beatles, the famous band. So George Harrison, he has contributed significantly in Prabhupada's movement. So he did not actually formally took initiation, but he was accepting Prabhupada as guru and he was chanting Krishna's name and he made Krishna's name popular in his music, in his songs. And he helped tremendously in giving funds for publishing Krishna book. So Prabhupada was remembering his contributions and he gave the ring to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, please give it to George Harrison as a gift from my side. His personal ring, which was very dear to him, very dear to Prabhupada. So, Lord's devotees and Lord himself, they don't forget any service rendered to them. So that's why rendering service, any small service also actually yields big result. And here, we were discussing, what was the point actually we were discussing? I guess I went back to a different point.
So we're talking about from a practical life
point. Practical life point. Yes, in our practical life, what happens is generally, as if we need to be focused on this path, spiritual path, but we get distracted with so many things. Because we get desire, we have desires to enjoy in different ways. And sometimes those desires come back, right? This is when the desires cloud our mind, it clouds the whole intelligence. It bewilders us and we kind of drift back to our old life. So in our practical life, we think, okay, we keep hearing so many times that, okay, we need to become serious. We need to start chanting. We need to read regularly. We need to associate regularly. We need to maybe fast on Ekadashi, do some austerity. So we keep hearing all these things, but we pushing it back, always pushing it back. Okay, maybe I will do it from this time. I gave this example also earlier. So somebody thinks, okay, Janmashtami is coming up. Maybe I will become serious from Janmashtami. From Janmashtami, I will start chanting regularly, or I will do Ekadashis regularly. Then Janmashtami passes. Oh, I will start from Radhashtami. Then Radhashtami goes, I will start from Diwali. Diwali goes, I will start from Gita Jayanti. Gita Jayanti is gone. I will start from New Year.
New Year resolution.
So New Year resolution. Right? So we are pushing it always to the next future time. So we are kind of giving as a post-dated check. You know, I will do in future. I will do in future. I will start from this time. So we are always pushing, pushing, pushing. But we need to take it, whatever is the first opportunity we get, we need to become serious about that. We need to take to the process at least. It's not that, it's not as a overnight change in our consciousness or overnight change in our behavior. It's a gradual process, but we have to start at a point, right? If I know, I have heard the benefit of chanting, I have heard the benefit of fasting on Ekadashi, I have heard the benefit of doing some service, how beneficial it is for me to progress in spiritual life. So after hearing all that, I have to start from a certain point. But we keep pushing it. So rather than pushing it on future, we have to start at a point as a small step. Okay, from tomorrow onwards, I'm going to chant 2 rounds. And when we take to that vow, that should not become as a lifetime vow, just staying at that point. Not as a stagnation again. So we have to have a desire for progress also. Prabhupada mentions the nectar of instruction as a kind of a, in the introduction. The progress in spiritual life depends on what? Anybody knows? You read nectar of instruction recently. There's a Shraddha, yeah, that is the starting point from in that category. If we see the Atau Shraddha Tatha Sadhu Sangha Tatha Bhajan Kriya. So it starts from Shraddha. But the progress in spiritual life, purposes, progress in spiritual life depends on the attitude of the person. So what is attitude? Again, Krishna is pointing towards attitude here, right? Different people have different attitude. In general, what is attitude? If we want to define attitude. Behavior. Okay. Ego.
Inclination of
a
person.
Inclination of a person. All are correct answers. We're trying to come down to the best answer. Vyavahar, yeah. So, general sense, when we say attitude, if we look at the dictionary meaning of attitude also, it is, just bole najariya, the way of looking at things. Right? It's a person's perspective of different things. How to look at different things. So everybody look at things in a different perspective. So now today it's raining outside. Somebody may think, oh, it's raining, spoiled my whole day. So that is one way of look at it. Another person may think, oh, I'm getting my lawn watered for free. So that is a different way of looking at it. Right? So everybody has a different perspective. It's the way how we look at things. So that is attitude. So same way in spiritual life, how we look at spiritual life. What is our perspective of progress in spiritual life? Somebody thinks, okay, going once in a while, it's okay. That's enough for me. And somebody thinks, why I'm wasting my time in all these nonsense things? I want to become serious. I need to become serious. So it's a attitude of a person. So the progress in spiritual life depends on the attitude of the person. That's how Prabhupada gives in a one sentence as a in the introduction of Nectar of Instruction. And Krishna is also saying actually kind of same thing. A person need to be a single-pointed, focused on progress in spiritual life. Otherwise, if somebody's intelligence is multi-branched, he cannot become determined. So, Prabhupada quotes one thing from Chaitanya Charitamrita here. Shraddha shabde vishwasi kahe sudhrida nishchaya Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hoye. So, Shraddha shabde vishwasi kahe sudhrida nishchaya. So, with faith, with determination, if one takes to this process, all his activities can become perfect. So that's how we can gain perfection in our life. Now comes the next part. So the whole flow of second chapter of Bhagavad Gita is very amazing actually. That's why the second chapter is called the contents of Gita summarized. In second chapter, Krishna has given all as a condensed summary of this whole knowledge. And the flow is very nice. So here first Krishna described Karma Kanda. Then he started talking about Nishkam Karma. Then he started talking about one need to become serious about making progress. But somebody may think, but isn't it mentioned in the Vedas itself to do Karma Kanda? Right? So somebody may say Vedas itself describe different ritualistic activities for gain of different result. Okay, if you want to gain this result, you do this activity. You want to get that kind of result, you do that activity, that particular ritual. Isn't it described in the Vedas itself? So you asked me this question a few days back. Right? So if the worship of different demigods or different ritualistic process are created by Krishna himself, is given in the Vedas itself, what is the problem in that then? Let people keep doing that. Keep doing all those ritualistic activities. So that is what Krishna comes to, the next part. Because Arjuna may pose this question, that okay, you want me to focus on progress in spiritual life as a Karma Yoga, but what is wrong with Karma Kanda? Doing the result, doing the activity with the desire of result. So the two shlokas combined here. Yam imam pushpitam vacham pravadhyante avipashchitah vedavad ratah partha nanyat astihvadinah kamatma swargapara janma karma phala pradham kriya vishesha bahulam bhoga aishvarya gatim prati. So many wonderful words used here. Pushpitam vacham. Avipashchitam Vedvadratah Kam Atmanah Swargaparah Janma Karma Phala Pradham Bhog Aishwaryah. So what is this whole word is saying? Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas. Pushpitam Vacham. Pushpitam Vacham means the flowery words. So men of small knowledge, small intelligence are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets. Swargaparaha. So they are so much attracted towards all these ritualistic activities to attain heaven or resultant good birth, power and so forth. So being desirous of sense gratification, kama atmanah, Swarga para, Janma karma phala pradham, Kriya vishesha bahulam. So they engage in various type of ritualistic activities. And say there is nothing more than this. So what is this verse, is this combination of two verses saying? People of small knowledge, they think going to heaven, attaining good birth, some power within this material world, that is the ultimate thing. And to gain that, they engage in various ritualistic activities. And they think that is ultimate. There is nothing more than that. And they are attracted to the flowery words. Pushpitam vacham, the flowery words of the Vedas. So in the Vedas, the 99% of the Vedas deal with Karma Kanda. And the purpose of that is to how to enjoy within this material world. Yes, that is mentioned in the Vedas. So Vedas deal mainly with three modes of material nature. So people are acting within three modes. Somebody is acting in goodness, somebody is acting in passion, somebody is acting in ignorance. So under all these three modes, so Vedas direct how to act to gain happiness within this world. So people get attracted to the flowery worlds. But Krishna is saying they are attracted to the flowery worlds, but sometimes the flower may look very attractive, but it's actually poisonous. Like the poison ivy, right? It may look very attractive, but somebody touches it, he starts getting all this itching and everything. So, all whatever ritualistic activities are described in the Vedas, yes, they give some good merit within this material world. Somebody can gain to Swarga, where the opportunity for sense enjoyment is more. But ultimately, once the results are over, somebody will have to come back on this earth planet. And he is stuck within this material world. Even though there may be some better chances of sense enjoyment, but it's still temporary. Whereas the result of spiritual progress is eternal. So there is a contrast. There is a contrast given between Karmakanda and Karma Yoga. The result of Karmakanda is temporary.
So it's more materialistic.
Right, it's materialistic. Okay, somebody say I want to gain some good birth in next life. So I will do this ritualistic activities, do this yajna, this particular puja or something to please this particular Devi Devata, and I will get some beauty, some health, some power, some fame. But ultimately it's temporary. Whereas the result of spiritual progress is eternal. There is no loss.
We can use the same way that the Karmakanda is saying to serve the God.
Right, so somebody is just trying to fix all those doshas,
yes.
And as long as somebody is in material world, doshas will remain.
Yeah, but
so we can try to fix
to get rid of that issues to serve God or to progress in spiritual world and stay alive in this material world,
mm-hmm.
to complete his process.
So when somebody engages in devotional service, all the doshas are automatically removed. So one doesn't have to do any specific thing to remove doshas. So that's why in Nectar of Devotion, it describes what is the symptoms of bhakti. It can destroy all the ill effects. The devotional process acts like a fire. It can destroy all kaleshagani. So bhakti is like a kaleshagani. It can destroy all the kaleshas. So there is nothing specific one has to do as a karmakandi activity to get rid of doshas.
To become a devotee, we need a lot of time.
How do you know?
Well, because what is this? We are practicing to be a devotee of Krishna.
Right,
but
so
we are
practicing, at least one has to start practice.
Yeah.
But if we get stuck with all these ritualistic things, one even doesn't come to the level of practicing bhakti. He is so engrossed in all those ritualistic activities, thinking that, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. His whole consciousness is stuck with that. How many people you think who are worshipping various different demigods has a desire to serve those particular Devi Devatas?
Yes.
Even 1% people approach Devi Devatas to serve them,
yeah.
Or to gain benefit.
Basically, people in general have the thinking of like gaining more,
right.
And more. But when
and what, why gaining more and more? What is the ultimate?
The sense enjoyment.
Sense enjoyment. To enjoy in this material world.
Yeah.
Right? And so we approach different Devi Devatas for two purposes. To gain benefit, to remove obstacles. Right? So give me some benefit and remove my obstacles.
So my point is, get the benefit, take off the obstacles and progress in spiritual life. Sarva Krishna.
So Krishna says it doesn't happen that way. When we are so much attracted to gaining benefit, to getting rid of some problems, our consciousness just gets stuck at that level. We get so much tempted with those things. So that temptations keep us away from spiritual life. And when somebody has enough pious credit, that's how somebody comes in the process of devotional service. So when somebody comes in the process of devotional service, in the process of devotion, there is no need of doing any other sideline ritualistic activities. Because devotional activity itself, it includes everything. So there are six symptoms of bhakti. One is kleshagni and the mukti pradha. So there are six symbols. I'm not recalling all the exact words right now. I can send it to you later. I will give you the reference of that particular shloka from Nectar of Devotion. So here, the word Krishna is saying, people get so much attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas, which directs towards the karmakandi activities, ritualistic activities. And why is that? Veda vadarataha. People are so much attached with particular ritualistic activities. They think this is all in all. And swarga para, going to heaven, is the ultimate destination. Now, when somebody dies, a lot of time people publish some obituaries in the newspaper or something. What do they write? Swargiya. Right? Or he has ascended to swarga. Now, can somebody claim with 100% confidence that he has gone to swarga for sure? We kind of think or we desire that, oh, he may have gone to swarga, but we ultimately don't know. He has gone to swarga or some lower planets or where he has ultimately gone. Everybody desires to go to swarga. He is swargiya. Nobody says Vaikunthavasi. Because to that level the intelligence doesn't go. Rarely somebody will say Vaikunthavasi, he has gone to Vaikuntha. Generally people will say swargiya, he has gone to swarga. So people think going to swarga is the ultimate goal. And enjoy there, have a peaceful life there. So swarga para, kamatmanah. So let's say kamatmanah. If you split the word kam atma, kam is like kam is their atma. Because sense enjoyment is the ultimate goal. Janma karma phalapradha, just getting the result within this lifetime. Kriya vishesha bahula, that's why they engage in various special sort of ritualistic activities. Bhoga ashwarya. Why? Because the ultimate point is bhoga and ashwarya. They want opulences, they want enjoyment, sense enjoyment. So Krishna starts the next verse from the same word bhoga ashwarya. Again continue, bhoga ashwarya prasaktanam tya prahata chetasam tya apaharata chetasam vyavasatmika buddhi samadhona vidyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Does it answer your question? You say, what is the problem? One can still do all those ritualistic activities, gain the benefits, remove all the obstacles, and then engage in devotional service. What is Krishna saying?
That doesn't take place.
Somebody who is attracted to gaining benefit, who is trying to gain this sense enjoyment and material opulence, and they get bewildered by such things, and the resolute determination does not take place for devotional service.
So, all these Vedas, they came from Vishnu to Brahma, right? And Brahma to all the demigods, right? But why did that happen if that is not the ultimate goal?
So, see, it's like it's going step by step. So, when somebody, come back to the example of baby. when a baby becomes 1 year, you hold the hand of the baby and baby start taking small steps with the help of holding something, right? And when he grows further, maybe he's try to walk by himself, then he will start riding the bike, then he will start riding the two-wheeler without the extra support wheels, then he will start riding the scooter. As he grows up, maybe one day you fly aeroplane. So there is a slow progress. So same way, we are in this material world and Krishna is describing how to slowly progress in spiritual life. So first, Krishna says, okay, you want to enjoy. So again, one more point to understand is, everybody is at a different level. Right? So there is a elementary school, there is a middle school, high school, PhD degree. So there is a bachelor's degree, master's degree, PhD degree. Does everybody get a PhD degree? So somebody may say, okay, if PhD degree is ultimate, why do you even have a bachelor and master's? Just have directly PhD. Everybody has to do PhD. But because everybody has a different level, so based on that, all these various smaller degrees and smaller steps are there. So same way, to make progress in spiritual life, not everybody is at the same level for spiritual progress also. Somebody's consciousness is stuck at a very basic level, just enjoying within this material world. So Krishna has given arrangement for that. At least don't do vikarma, enjoy in a dharmic way, karma kanda. Somebody is a higher level, somebody thinks, so brings buddhi yoga. Oh, I am doing this activity, but where the result going? What is the ultimate result? It is very temporary. Ultimately, I will be stuck within the cycle of life and death, birth and death. So I need to progress further, right? So the further knowledge is given. So Vedas primarily deal with karma kanda. So that's why apart from Vedas, then comes Upanishad. So Upanishad take to the higher level, which gives more philosophical knowledge, gives an indication towards the spiritual world to gain connection with the Supreme Lord. And then comes the Purana. And ultimate Purana is Bhagavad Purana. So it's like when Vyasadeva is writing all these scriptures, putting all the scriptures in writing form, he first composed Vedas. It's like the peeling the layers of the onion. Generally we don't eat onion, but we can give the example of onion to fit into this scenario. So it's like peeling the layers of the onion. Right? You keep peeling, ultimately the core comes, which people try to eat. So same way, to give the ultimate conclusion, first Vyasadeva gave the Vedas, then he gave the Upanishads, then he gave all the Puranas. And Puranas are also divided. There are 18 Puranas. 6 deal with mode of ignorance. 6 Puranas deal with mode of passion. 6 Puranas deal with mode of goodness. And the topmost Purana is Bhagavad Purana. So it's a systematically knowledge given in that way. So it's inclusive for everybody and everything. It's not as a my way is the only way. Right? As in Abrahamic religions, it becomes my way, my God, my path is the only way. But in the Vedic fold, it's not like that. My way is the only way. It has a way for everybody. So it is inclusive for everybody. Okay, somebody want to make progress to this level only. Okay, you can follow this. You want to make further progress? Okay, now come to this level.
At least it directs people to be in the right path.
Right, you know? It gives to the right path. Yeah. Slowly, yeah. They come to higher level.
The level of advancement may vary, but they are on the
it
right
depends track. On the attitude of the person.
Yes.
So we'll stop here, I guess. So we'll continue from text 44 next time. So next time actually we will not have our regular program. So Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Today we are good discussion.